And he just said to me, Paul, you look awful and you've lost weight. He may have phrased it in a slightly less broadcastable way. Hello and welcome to A Doctor's View, a podcast looking at everyday health topics and life through a doctor's eyes. Please note that all opinions are my own and should not replace the advice given to you by your own doctor. I'm Dr. Bolivios. Let's begin. Hello and welcome to a brand new series of A Doctor's View. I'm Dr. Bolivios. This year, I want to focus more on improving our health. Now, health is defined as a state of physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease. So I want to talk about some conditions that may seem minor, but they can affect us on many levels, and in some cases they can lead to a vicious cycle of stress and symptom manifestation. And with that, I want to talk about a condition called irritable bowel syndrome, or IBS for short. And I also want to talk about my personal experience and story of IBS. I'm going to discuss what it is, going to discuss some of the symptoms that you get from it, what you can do about it, and just outline some of the problems that people have and can have with it. So, what is it? Well, it's a common, usually long-term condition of the digestive system. And it describes a collection of otherwise unexplainable bowel symptoms. And these can include things like stomach cramps, bloating, diarrhea, and or constipation. And IBS is thought to affect up to 1 in 5 people at some point in their life. So that's quite a high number of people. It's quite a common problem. And it usually develops when a person's between 20 and 30 years old. It's also twice as likely to affect women as it does men. In terms of what causes it, we don't actually really know. It's been linked to triggers like stress and bouts of food poisoning or gastroenteritis. And depending on which sources you read, it may depend a bit on family history as well. Sufferers of IBS actually notice sometimes that there's certain trigger foods that can cause havoc with their digestive system. So things like spicy foods, for example. And as well as these symptoms that I've described just now, there's also other symptoms that can cause as well. So things like increasing wind, passing mucus, tiredness or lack of energy, and that's quite a big one. Feeling sick, things like backache, and oddly enough, problems passing urine as well. So things like needing to go for a wee often or having sudden urges or just not being able to empty your bladder fully and having to go again. And also things like incontinence too. These are all symptoms that can be a result of IBS. Not to say that it is the only cause of it, but they can manifest in these things. It's also very important to note there's what's called red flag symptoms. And these are symptoms that something more serious may be going on. And you have to mention it as soon as possible to someone. So having lost a lot of weight for no reason, this is a red flag symptom. And when I mean for no reason, as in you're not trying to actively lose weight, you just notice that you have, or someone else has noticed that you have. Bleeding from back passage or having bloody stools or diarrhea, this is another red flag symptom, as is noticing a hard lump or swelling in your abdomen or your tummy, having shorts of breath or notable heartbeats, things like palpitations, as they're otherwise known, or having pale skin. This is sometimes a symptom of anemia, which can also be a red flag symptom. So I implore you, if you do have any of these symptoms, please do seek medical advice as soon as possible. Now, in terms of the actual diagnosis of IBS, before being diagnosed with IBS, it needs to be diagnosed by your doctor, really. Depending on the symptoms, they may arrange blood tests to exclude something like celiac disease. And this is a condition where your immune system attacks your own tissues when you eat gluten. and this damages your gut, so you can't absorb or take in the nutrients from your food, and it can mimic the symptoms that IBS also produces. Unfortunately, gluten's found in quite a lot of foods, and it requires a special gluten-free diet, which your doctor or dietitian can advise you on. The doctor may also take stool samples or send off stool samples, which can check for things like inflammatory bowel disease, things like Crohn's or ulcerative colitis and infections. And also, depending on whether or not your doctor feels it's necessary to rule out something more serious, something like bowel cancer, for example, they may arrange for further tests, so things like scans or an endoscopy or camera test. And it's very important to let your doctor know of any family history of bowel problems. And these include things like inflammatory bowel disease and bowel cancer, as these can help decide the immediate course of action. It may be they may tailor your management plan according to your family history. So even if they don't suspect that you have something more sinister, an early family history may trigger something to be done sooner rather than later. Now, before I go on, I have to say one thing. IBS is a diagnosis of exclusion. And by that, I mean someone should only be diagnosed with IBS once all the alternative diagnoses have been excluded. So please don't cherry pick a couple of symptoms and diagnose yourself with IBS. Please do seek medical advice before you come to that conclusion. Sadly, I've seen a growing number of younger people having inoperable bowel cancers and having palliative operations, that's operation just purely to help with their symptoms, not to cure them. And when I speak to them to pre-assess them for their anaesthetic, I ask them when their symptoms first started. More often than not, they tell me a date that is many, many months before they came into hospital, and they just didn't see anyone about it. And it's one of the most heartbreaking things to hear, you know, just to see an otherwise well 30-year-old or 30-something with a terminal cancer, that they haven't mentioned anything to anyone. And if they had mentioned something when they first noticed that things weren't quite right, there's a good chance that we could have done something about it. And often the symptoms they describe have some of the red flags that we discussed earlier, and a large number even go as far as saying that they have a very strong family history of bowel cancer. They say something, things like, my father was diagnosed with bowel cancer at the age of 40. And I'm in no way blaming them at all. We're all human, and we're often not very good at looking out for what our bodies are trying to tell us. We're too embarrassed to seek advice sometimes, you know. And oddly enough, this goes for doctors as well. This is my story on the matter. And last year, without me even realizing, I was going through a period of quite a lot of stress, not so much at work. I was very happy and I was enjoying work, and I was actually enjoying my downtime as well. But there was a lot going on at the time, lots of little things, and the type of things that can linger, and the list of small problems then suddenly gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it can become quite overwhelming. And I noticed I was having some of the symptoms that I mentioned right at the beginning of the show, and I genuinely thought nothing of it. I actually convinced myself that I'd eaten something dodgy and it would improve over the next few days. And then I noticed over the next few weeks that actually I was having these symptoms more and more. I also noticed I was very, very hungry, but no matter what I ate, it just didn't agree with me. And there'll be days where I'd be fine, but others I'd be struggling. And I carried on like this for a few more weeks, and I convinced myself each time that tomorrow will be better. I then started to worry about these symptoms, and this actually made things worse because I didn't act on it immediately. And at that time, I noticed that the comments from other people started. These were just things like, you look tired, or have you lost weight? Is everything okay? And I actually had someone come up to me and straight up ask me, I want you to be honest with me. Look me in the eyes and tell me, do you have an eating disorder? And I actually laughed because I had to spend quite a few minutes convincing them that I didn't, and just how much I actually love food. And I actually did explain that, you know, I was just having a stressful period, and I just didn't realize that I'd lost any weight. And I began to feel more and more tired each day, and each meal that I was eating was just Russian roulette, essentially. And then one day at work in the evening, a surgical colleague saw me, and we'd got to know each other quite well, as we did quite a lot of on-calls together. So he became a good friend. And he just said to me, Paul, you look awful and you've lost weight. He may have phrased it in a slightly less broadcastable way, but he mentioned it straight up, and he said, what's going on? And I explained the symptoms that I had to him, and as I was reeling off all the symptoms, I felt more and more silly that I hadn't actually been more vocal about this sooner, hadn't seen help sooner. And I could just see the look in this man's eyes. It had the look of someone in complete disbelief, and someone that just wanted to say to me, how have you left it, you know, this many weeks and not tell anyone? So I went to my GP the next day and had urgent investigations done, and everything thankfully came back completely normal. Now, whilst I was waiting for my results, I began working on some of the stresses that had been going on, and I started dealing with them one by one. I began to talk to people about the problems I was having, or the stresses that I was having, and the things that I couldn't manage alone. I was seeking help with them, just from family, friends, colleagues. It didn't matter. People that I thought could help me, and they did. And I was trying to make sure I was sleeping better, because I'd lost quite a lot of sleep at the time just because of all the symptoms that I was having. And I was trying to eat more food to try and compensate for my weight loss. And I spent more time enjoying the time with family and friends. And by the time my results came back, I noticed that actually my symptoms had completely gone by this point. And so I essentially had a bout of stress-induced IBS for the first and so far only time in my life. So this then leads me to talk about what happens when we do have a diagnosis of IBS. And there's things that you should try to do and things that you should try to avoid. So you should always try to cook homemade meals using fresh ingredients. And I can't stress the importance of this. Things like processed foods really do and can cause havoc with your bowels and with your digestive system. It's also worth keeping a diary of what you eat. And if there's things that you notice trigger your symptoms, keep a note of them, and you know to avoid them in the future. It's also incredibly important to try and find ways to relax. It doesn't matter how that is. Start a podcast if you want. If you find it relaxing. But try to find a way of relaxing, and try to get plenty of exercise. It sounds very easy to say. It's very hard to do in practice for a lot of people, but even just a walk around the block, just try and do something. It does help. The other thing that's worth trying is things like probiotics, and these are things like yogurts or Yakult, and it's worth trying them for a month or so just to see if they help improve your gut flora, if they help improve your symptoms. More often than not, they do something. You may find they don't, but it's worth giving it a go. And there's a few things that you should try to not do. So don't skip meals or delay meals. Have breakfast, have lunch, have dinner, have them at regular times. It's very important, actually. And they say breakfast is the most important meal of the day. They say that because it is, actually, and so try not to skip that. Also, try not to eat too quickly, and this sounds like an odd thing to say, but it's really easy to do, especially if you're living alone and you don't have the etiquette that you would when you're out in a nice restaurant, for example. Try to pace yourself. It's very easy when you come home from work and you're hungry and you just want to have a whole pizza, but just try to pace your eating. Also, try not to eat lots of fatty, spicy or processed foods. These can actually be very irritant to people's digestive systems, especially if you notice that they're trigger foods for you. Also, try not to eat, this sounds very odd saying actually, but try not to eat huge amounts of fresh fruit a day. It can actually aggravate symptoms of IBS. Obviously, do eat fruit, do eat vegetables, of course. But try not to overdo it if you're finding, especially if that's another trigger for you. And caffeine also can cause IBS as well. So try to limit to 2-3 cups of tea or coffee a day. And as is usually the case, you have to mention it in pretty much most conditions. Try not to drink a lot of alcohol or fizzy drinks. These can also aggravate your symptoms as well. If you're noticing things like cramps and bloating, there are some medicines that can help. So there's things like buscopan, which can help relax the bowel. And patients have said peppermint oil, and some patients have told me peppermint tea helps a lot as well. And they're very, very quick to tell you that they take peppermint tea every day. And they do swear by it, and it helps them sleep at night. They don't have the same bloating or cramp like sensations, at least that's what they tell me. It's a nice drink anyway. So it's also worth avoiding things that are really hard to digest, so things like cabbage and beans as well on that note, and try not to eat too late at night. All these little things, they can mount up to quite a big change, so it's worth trying a few of them and trying to introduce new changes each day and seeing if they help and see which change actually provides the best benefit for you. If you're suffering badly with diarrhea, it's also advisable to cut down some of the higher fiber foods, so things like the brown breads, just to see if that helps. And if it's not, and you've cut down as much as you know you think that you should, it's worth seeing your doctor or pharmacist for some medicine, things like loperamide, which can help with the diarrhea. If, on the other hand, you're suffering with constipation, it's worth increasing the amount of soluble fiber you take. And a good way to do this is to obviously eat more fruit and vegetables, as long as they're not aggravating your symptoms. But things like fiber gel, which is a high fiber husk drink, which you can buy in the pharmacy. There's also generic brands as well. They're cheaper. They do pretty much the same thing. They may have a slightly different taste, but your pharmacist or GP can help advise you on this, and it's worth trying that for a little while just to see if that helps regulate you. Now, if everything isn't working still, your doctor may well advise you to try what's called a low FODMAP diet. Now, FODMAP is actually an acronym for, I'll see if I can get this right first go, fermentable oligodimonosaccharides and polyols. So FODMAP. And essentially what this involves is avoiding foods that are not easily broken down by the gut. So things like fruit and vegetables, milk, wheat products. And there's quite a lot of resources out there online and which can help guide you into what the right foods are and what you should be avoiding. I must be honest, the list of things to avoid is not small. And it's quite a tricky diet to stick to unless you get used to it. But I will say that there's a fair amount of evidence out there to suggest that this diet really does improve symptoms for, I think it's up to 70% of people who suffer from IBS and everything else has failed. Now, your GP or medical practitioner might actually just advise you start doing this right from the offset. But it is worth noting that there is this low FODMAP diet out there, and it does help a lot of people. Why did I choose to talk about IBS this week? Well, I wanted to start the new season by giving a real world and personal example of how easy it is to neglect ourselves. Our bodies are, as I said, incredible things. You know, they tell us all sorts of things. If you sprain your ankle, it hurts. It's your body's way of telling you don't stand on that ankle. And I must say, I do feel extremely lucky to have had a normal result. And like I say, I didn't have IBS before Went through all my life without it, and I haven't had it since. And I've been able to continue my normal diet, and things have been absolutely fine. So I have managed to attribute it to simply a bout of stress. And it has taught me a few things. First, it's taught me that as a result, I've started to look after my diet a little bit more. And I've started eating probiotic yogurts. And it's also been a wake-up call, just seeing the impact that life stresses can have on our body and how easy it is to disregard what our bodies are trying to tell us. I will end with saying the vast majority of us are good people. And yes, we all have our quirks, and some of us may be more selfish than others, others more arrogant or rude. But on the whole, we all care for others in some way, be it give directions on the street when we're stopped by a stranger, or we look after a loved one, or we buy a coffee or a dinner for a friend. We're actually pretty good at caring for others, but we really do neglect ourselves sometimes, and we don't listen to what our bodies are trying to tell us. I always say at the end of each show, look after yourself. And I say that for a reason, not just because I was looking for a catchy line to end the show with, but also because all the things that are important to you depend on you to do just that. And sometimes we all need that gentle reminder. So with that, I'll leave you. And please do email me with any topics that you would like me to discuss in future episodes. And do visit my website, doctorsview.uk, where you can contact me there. And also, please do feel free to leave a review if you're enjoying the show. And as always, please look after yourself. And I'll join you again next time. I'm Dr. Paul Livios. Goodbye.